You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders.
And we have returned. We are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. We are here with Eric Cand, Master Hypnotist, and I'm going to move forward with my questions. Okay. How is autosuggestion a form of hypnosis, and does it really work? Yes, I had to ask that question. Does it really work?
So autosuggestion, which is one of the core concepts of Napoleon Hill's book,
yes,
is a way of conditioning or reprogramming your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is the part of your mind that's got all the resources to make things happen for you. If you are not conditioning your subconscious mind, you're probably either getting the same old thing or worse, you're opening yourself up to negative or self-destructive programming you're receiving from outside sources, like TV. One of the best things you can do is stop watching TV, and for God's sake, don't fall asleep watching TV.
Oh,
I mean, geez, there's nothing important you need to know about. If it's important, you will find out, okay? You know, nothing's going to happen. If zombie apocalypse happens, trust me, you'll know without seeing it on TV. So auto-suggestion is an effective way of doing self-hypnosis without a formal induction or listening to a hypnosis CD. Basically, there are many ways to achieve hypnosis. There are many varieties of accessing their natural trance states, but auto-suggestion, as outlined by Napoleon Hill, is actually a very effective way to do this. It's very powerful. And I'm just kind of surprised he discovered or whatever, was able to put all this information together as far back as he did. So to maybe what would be most useful is for us to just outline how he would use auto-suggestion, or maybe how I take it and how I would employ this in my daily life. So number one, basically you've got a written statement of definite purpose or written goals that are very specific, phrased in the positive, that are measurable. And the first step that he indicates is that you're going to read them aloud. You're going to read them aloud because there's something about using your own voice, hearing your own voice, that's hypnotic in itself. And by repetition, by reading it aloud, I mean, your goals should be so specific, so definite, that you should have them memorized before long so that you can just not have that piece of paper. You should be able to get to the point where you can close your eyes and read things aloud. And now, this is very important. When you read these things and when you're imagining these things, you get emotional about it. Emotion is one of the core concepts. And this is why people who use affirmations almost always fail. They said, oh, I used to use affirmations and I'm still a loser, you know, because, you know, they're just saying things, right? They're not engaging themselves. You have to get emotionally behind it. And so how do you do that? Well, use your body language. You're not slumped over in a chair reading your goals. You know, you can get up in the room and dance around and jump around, and I call it going on a rampage. Okay, so, and we'll get to that in a second. But the next thing about it is be very visual and very sensory in your experience. So if you are imagining your goals as if they were already true, you engage all your senses in your imagination, which means you see the exact amount of money you hope to acquire. You envision yourself performing the services that you're going to render to the world in reciprocation for you receiving this money. You hear in your mind the compliments that your friends are giving you because you've lost all of the weight, and so forth. You smell the new office, the new corner office with the window, and you smell the leather on the chairs. So you engage all of your senses because your subconscious mind loves that. It does not think in terms of words. It loves pictures, smells, and all these exciting things because your subconscious mind is in charge of this. Your subconscious mind is in charge of the emotions. So you engage yourself with the language of your subconscious mind. You're choosing to do that as the captain, using your conscious mind. You're choosing and intending to do that, and then you do so and you deliver the directions in the language of the person you're trying to reach, which is your subconscious mind. And the final aspect of this is you keep on repeating. You keep on going back to the same exact definite goal over and over and over until, and this is where the programming becomes, it's a little crazy, but, I mean, you get to the point where you are so engaged with this idea that you know it's going to come true. You know it. It's almost that, and now it's just a time lag. You already know it in your mind. It's happening. Now, you see this when you are, for simple goals, for example, if you're talking to a person and they're going to school, they'll say things like, I'm getting my master's degree. Now, do you see how they use the words? It's already their master's degree. They're just going, they just have to keep showing up, and it's theirs, right?
Okay.
You don't hear them say, yeah, I'm going to try to get my master's degree, right?
Good luck with that,
you know. So in their mind, if it's a sure thing in their mind, you can hear it. You can already hear it. The words automatically are subconsciously delivering their expectations. So what you have to do is you keep on keeping on. You keep on directing your subconscious. This is it. This is exactly what I want. No, I'm not. It's not different today. This is it again, and I expect you to deliver. And then your subconscious mind, your faithful servant, goes, okay. And it starts to look for all the things, and that's when it just seems like the universe metaphysically seems to open up and starting to deliver the right people into your life, the right circumstances. You start meeting the right people. You start seeing because once it gets an idea, it's all over it. So the common example, of course, if you've decided, for example, to buy a certain type of car, like a Jeep, and you've never really noticed them before, as soon as you make that decision of definite that you're going to buy a Jeep, you start noticing them everywhere on the road. Everybody's got a Jeep. Because
that's
once
real.
You are definite, once you've made a definite decision, your subconscious mind is right behind you. But like we said, most people, they're already dead in the water because they don't have any definite decisions to work on. So sometimes mind just goes on the old thing. So how can we use this auto-suggestion? So, for example, let's say you've got a goal. Remember when I said calling it going on a rampage, you know? For example, if you have that goal of, let's say, getting back to a weight loss goal, so a lot of people are, you know, interested in losing weight and being more healthy. So you read your goal aloud, and then you go on a rampage because it starts wrapping your mind around it. It's like, you know, I'm so excited. I choose to be 165 pounds, a 32-inch waist. I'm going to have this done by September 1st. Oh, my wife is going to be so in love with me because it's like I'm going to look 20 years younger, and I'm going to get a job promotion because I'm just going to be so hot. And then, you know, you just go off with all these crazy scenarios, and your subconscious mind loves it. It loves that stuff, and it's engaging, and it's fun, and it makes you happy, and for you're emotionally engaged. And to be able to come up with all these crazy, exciting stories of how awesome you're going to be, you know, it's like, yeah, when I step into my Channing Tatum superbody, I'm going to start taking martial arts classes, and I'm going to do this, and women are going to be all over me, and, you know. So, I mean, it's exciting stuff, right? So it's fun. And if you show up with these thoughts in your mind for, you know, 20 minutes every day, just take some time and set aside to do this, or I think Napoleon Hill recommends like 30 minutes of conditioning your mind, guess what? Weird things are going to start happening, and they're going to be good. So,
Eric, did you say Tatum Channing?
What is it? Oh, Channing Tatum?
Oh, Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. I think he's like the hottest star in Hollywood today, so that's why it's making fun.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that I heard correctly.
But you see, I thought I was going on a rampage. So let me give it a couple of examples to get your head wrapped around it. Like, if you ever hear like Donald Trump talking about one of his projects, he never says anything negative. He never says he's trying things. He's like, oh, this is going to be the best building ever built. You know, and he'll go on and on and on about it. And you might hate the guy. You might think he's got a big head, but guess what? He is talking exactly the way he needs to talk to achieve the level of greatness he's going for.
Mm.
Another guy, when I talk about the Rampage, another guy that he would always. Do you remember boxing promoter Don King?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, remember how he used to talk to me like, I'm so excited to be here. I'd say, no, this has been the best fight, and he's just going on and on. He's all over the place, jumping out of his skin. That's what I mean. That's how you do your auto-suggestion in my book. You're loud, you're engaging, you're emotional, you're into it, and you're going through all these various scenarios in your head of exactly the way you would like things to play out in the most awesome way. And you do that every day. You can do it aloud for a while. You don't have to do that for the full 30 minutes. You kind of set the scene for what you want, and then you can sort of just sit back in your chair and maybe reflect internally using your imagination and playing out the scenario.
Okay.
And a great thing to do right before you go to bed as well, because your subconscious mind is going to intend to kind of meddle through whatever happened to be in your head as you fall asleep. So if you're going to fall asleep with watching negative stuff on the news, you're probably going to be dreaming about zombie apocalypse all night long. But if you are thinking of, if you're engaging your mind in your perfect life scenario in your head, that's going to play out in your mind. You know, your subconscious mind is going to be working on it.
Eric, we work a lot with the youth. And what are some steps that we can, or for the ones that are listening in via internet, what are some steps that they can begin to take to reprogram their mind? What are some suggestions that you can give them?
Well, now, in some respects, we don't need to treat youths differently than adults. They're actually probably smarter than we are, and they're going to learn stuff faster. So whatever principles that we're talking about to use for an adult, the only problem is we wait until we're adults to learn and apply these principles when they should be taught as early as possible. So how to use auto-suggestion, what it means to have a definite purpose, what it means to have clear, well-intentioned goals, and how do you engage your mind in order to do these things. But we don't do this with our kids. We don't even teach them how to manage money. We don't teach them anything. I don't know if that's worthwhile half the time. So, unfortunately, you know, that's our job is to and many times kids are struggling with the negative beliefs and ideas that they are required from outside sources.
Exactly.
And they don't realize they have that all this internal power. It's not an easy task to just say, you know, just tell them. They're not going to – if they already got belief systems, obviously we know that's difficult. So it's only through continued repetition and involvement and immersion in these ideas that they're going to take hold with anybody, whether it's an adult or a child.
I agree. Thanks, Eric.
And, okay, so this is Danelle. I have another question. When audio stimulants – and you've kind of already touched on this – when audio stimulants play in the background while we're asleep, is that a form of hypnosis? And how, it's a two-part question, and how accurate is that as the form of?
By auto-stimulants, I guess you're talking about maybe playing certain music or playing self-hypnosis things in the background or affirmations while you're
sleeping.
Exactly.
Whether it's negative or positive, how effective is that? Is that a way of hypnosis?
Right.
And is that an accurate way of retraining?
Well, so like we discussed before, the brainwave difference between the hypnotic trance state, the super learning state, and that of actual real sleep. The theta brainwaves is the hypnosis state. The delta brainwaves, that's the sleep state. So it's actually a different state of mind. So trying to play affirmations or things in the background, it's gonna be of limited value. There may be some value to it. But the real takeaway on this is that you do need to dedicate that 15 to 30 minutes a day doing your auto suggestion to get your real mega results, so to speak. Because when the mind's asleep, it's just off doing other things. It's got other things to take care of. It's a different state of mind. And and that's another point too, is that many people, they go, oh, I don't have time to do the self-hypnosis or auto-suggestion, but I can play a tape while I'm asleep. What kind of message do you think you're giving your subconscious mind that you don't have enough time during the day, but you're only going to play a tape while you're sleeping? Basically, you're telling your mind, hey, this is not that important. I can't make time for this during the day because I'm so busy. I'll just play a tape at night. You know what I mean? It's the same thing as writing your goals down once and then shoving them in the kitchen drawer, you know, and never to be seen again. You know, it's just there's a there's a big message being sent to your subconscious mind about whether or not something's really important if you're taking some real time to engage yourself in it.
Okay. So we are speaking with Eric Cand, Master Hypnotist of HypnosisEvents.com. Okay, so I have another question. What are some readings, and you've already spoken about this, but you just mentioned one book. What are some readings that you can recommend as life-changing for you? How and why?
There's a couple business books in particular that I thought were so groundbreaking that they made a strong impression on me. One of them is more recent. It's The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Yes.
And it was so groundbreaking because it really kind of just drove home some great points about how to manage your time effectively. And I first started using virtual assistants because of information and the idea popped into my head from this book, really. So if I have a database I need to put together for a direct mail piece, I could hire somebody in Bangladesh or the Philippines for $3 an hour to put it together. And, you know, if I tried to do it on my own, it would never get done because it's maybe a 40-hour job. Why should I be doing that kind of stuff if I can pay somebody that, you know, and have it done this week, you know, and keep things moving? So that was a great book, really inspiring and mind-expanding. And another book that I like that's a bit, probably a few decades old now, is called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and that was kind of mind-expanding as well because one of the core principles of that book is that you don't want to get yourself in a position as an entrepreneur to basically just creating a job for yourself. So, for example, if you're working as an auto mechanic and you go out and you decide you want to work for yourself, you buy an auto mechanic shop. You basically, instead of working 8 hours a day as a mechanic for somebody else, now you're probably working 12 to 16 hours a day as a self-employed person. So you're supposed to be creating freedom for yourself in the long run. And so basically what this book is encouraging you to do is, hey, if anything, maybe you should get involved in the business where you don't have the skill set to do the actual task, and that way you'll spend your time growing and expanding and building your brand, which is what you really should be doing as the owner of the business. So if you're an auto mechanic, maybe you should be owning a beauty shop because then you can spend your time on the marketing and building the brand and building a great business. And his point is, hey, build something that you can eventually sell. I can't really say that's what the business model I built myself on because obviously I need to show up to do shows, but I do enjoy it. But certainly, as far as exploring other business activities, that book's a good one in the back of my mind.
Eric, I would like to say you answered every question. Although I didn't have an opportunity to ask those questions, you answered every question that I could possibly think of. Yeah, I
apologize. My call actually dropped completely. Completely. Okay, so go ahead. There was some conversation going on.
No, what I was saying is, that Eric answered all the questions that I could think of before I could get a chance to ask them. And that's an awesome thing because I really wanted to know, is it possible for us to hypnotize ourselves? And I kind of thought I knew the answer, but before I could even get to the master of this, he had already answered. I'm like, wow, that's what's up. That's definitely what's up.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad. Excellent. Yeah. Covering all the bases.
And yeah, because I'm definitely not a person that has a loss for words. So you got me stuck.
Now, I do have some more brain facts that I'd like to share. During a dream, no, okay, no, I won't read that one. Juggling has shown to change the brain in as little as 7 days. The study indicates that learning new things helps the brain to change very quickly. I'll read that very last statement again. Learning new things helps the brain to change very quickly. Another one, as Eric has touched on several times throughout the show, studies show that brain waves are more active while dreaming than when you are awake. And this one is my favorite. London taxi drivers, famous for knowing all the London streets by heart, these drivers have a larger than normal hippocampus, especially the drivers who have been on the job the longest. The study shows that as people memorize more and more information, this part of their brain continues to grow. I thought those were very interesting. Okay, so I have one last question. What truths have you found between your line of work and hypnosis as a hypnotist and Napoleon Hill's writings?
I'll tell you that it would seem that people, for the most part, their biggest motivation, unfortunately, is that people are mostly motivated by pain. And when they go to seek a hypnotist or, you know, it's usually because they have a problem. And maybe whatever that problem is, maybe they've consulted a doctor and a counselor and a therapist, whatever, and a hypnotist is sort of a last resort. And, you know, they go in there and you're the last chance. And if you can help them lessen or eliminate that problem, that's great. They go back to their lives. And we've solved the problem. You know, they knew what they wanted, and they resolved the problem, and that's it. And it takes a level of pain for them to even explore the opportunities. And people are never coming in and asking about how they can be more successful. Or if they are, they are always very vague. I can remember on a cruise ship, a piano player was asking me, "Hey, can hypnosis help me? I'd like to be a better piano player." What does that mean? You know, that's so vague, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like he just basically is fishing for compliments. Like, oh, you're already a great piano player, you know what I mean? You know, it takes a special kind of person to make the decision to use these principles that are available to apply them to achieve their definite chief aims or their definite goals. But whenever they, usually for most people, if they even get exposed to these principles, it's because they're looking to resolve an emotionally painful problem. And then when and if that problem gets solved, they go back to their lives of silent desperation, doing the same old thing over and over and over, year after year. So, unfortunate, but these principles are available. Most people are using them to resolve emotional hurdles, and then they go on with their lives without using them to achieve success. And so, as we've been saying, you know, that's the difference between the top 2% and the other 98% is that is what they're doing with this knowledge.
As I always say, listeners, let's get a clue. Okay, so we are, or well, I am at least, at the end of my questions. Does anyone else have any questions or last-minute comments to make?
Your comments and everything, it does line up a lot with Napoleon Hill's comments of auto-suggestion and really reprogramming your subconscious mind. And I see it myself, like even when I spoke about my situation at becoming a salesman, it was through the need or desire or necessity principles that I had to kind of buckle down and then give that that captain, you know, his direction on where to go, to change the itinerary to, now you got to survive, now you got to try to do something different. And then I begin to link up, you know, some of the things, some of my past natures with some of the natures that I needed or abilities that I needed to continue being a salesman. So through that, you know, through that principle, I began to understand that not only in that situation I can unlock certain abilities and capabilities within myself, but in other situations, if I would just open my mind up or try to find a way or try to be more creative, I would then in turn still, you know, be able to unlock much more and then grow much more, use much more of my brain.
And, you know, it's also, and isn't it also true that just making the decision is more than half the battle?
Yeah. True.
Eric, did you use auto-suggestion on your journey of being a hypnotist?
Oh, yeah, I use it all the time. I try to, for the most part, just sit down. I've got my one special room, which I call the library, and I've got my special chair, and I sit in the chair, and I go on my rampages. You know, I always feel great when I'm done. It's like your body, your energy level goes, whoop, you know, it's like your whole body's revving up, you know, and it's great. And then it's just funny. I mean, it has to be experienced. If anybody, all they got to do is just give it a shot for 30 days. And if you don't have some weird stuff happening in your life, then go back and reread the instructions. There's something you're doing wrong because stuff starts happening. And who knows what it is? The phone starts ringing.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that as I very vividly imagined the RPMs of my car revving up, and then it appears.
Of course, he used the power of auto suggestion. He went from being a CPA,
Yeah.
Two different sides of the world.
And two different sides of the brain, too.
You know, right. I'll tell you, I can't even remember the day I decided to become a CPA. So now we're talking, boom, you know, a few decades ago. I remember I was sitting in some job, and it was just boring, and it was like, I want to get into one of the professions, and I had actually called a few, what I consider to be experts. I was thinking about maybe being a lawyer, maybe because getting into accounting, and I talked to a few people that are already in the field, and I was sitting at my desk, bored out of my mind, and I made the decision to get into accounting. That very moment, I got on the phone and started calling schools and setting and booking classes or whatever I needed to do to get the additional classes I needed to take and sit for the exam. I mean, and that was my definite purpose from that on, and it was like I went through that process as fast as it could be humanly done to get to where I wanted to be, because it was the only thing in my mind. And it's very vivid in my mind because that was like, boom, I can remember the exact moment where I had that definite of purpose congealed ahead, and then things really started happening.
Wow. All right, so again, you are listening to the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. The International Mastermind Association is the official masterminding organization of masterminders worldwide. You can find us and our information on Masterminders, internationalmasterminders.com. You've been listening to Master Hypnotist Eric Cand, and you can find him and more of his information at hypnosisevents.com.